From KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas, it's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. Call us with your questions or answers this hour, or email us anything at kera.org, or send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. It is Friday the 14th of August, and we're taking your questions and answers live today. Starting off, we have an email from Daryl, who wants to know, Daryl's an HEB, and wants to know, is there anyone in the HEB area that scans 120 negatives? And is there anyone with a drum scanner for use as well? He adds, I've got some old 120 film I'd like to get scanned around 1200 DPI, and a local option in the HEB Fort Worth area would be great. Give us a call, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. We also got an email from David, who's wondering, what's the more current and or more popular term? Is it cell phone? Is it mobile phone? I guess here, I would think probably people say cell phone, but in the UK, people say mobile or mobile, I think, perhaps. Well, weigh in on that. We got a open lines at 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's see. Sharla emailed us. We had this question last week. Someone in East Texas who's looking for historical fiction or great nonfiction about East Texas or Texas. We got all kinds of recommendations. I think we had The Sun, the novel that was recommended by someone. Sharla emailed and says, one of my favorite books of all time is Liar's Club by Mary Carr. Sharla says, Mary Carr grew up in Southeast Texas and is a literature professor at Syracuse University, and the book details her childhood in which she dealt with her parents' alcoholism. Though her experience was tragic, Sharla adds, she somehow relates her story with wit and belly laugh humor, and Sharla calls it a great read. Linda Ellen said, Love is a Wild Assault by Elith Hamilton Kirkland is the story of Harriet Potter, quote, the bravest woman in the Republic of Texas. And Linda Ellen says it's a real page-turner. I'd never heard of the woman before I came across the book, and hope your other listener and all your listeners will also enjoy it. And I think I mentioned S.C. Gwynne's Empire of the Summer Moon last week, which came out a couple of years ago. We had him on the Think Show when it came out. You probably find that podcast someplace if you go to kera.org/think or just kera.org and search for Empire of the Summer Moon. It's a great show. It's a great interview. I finally got around to reading it myself last year. It's a great book. Let's see. We had a question about a vine taking over rose bushes. Got an answer from Mike and Garland, who says that vine with heart-shaped leaves sounds like morning glory. And then we had this question last week about the movement of the mourning dove and especially the white-winged dove population. And Ed in Dallas says, the northward movement of the white-winged dove population began in the late 1980s with wholesale clearing of huge amounts of scrub brush in Tamaulipas, Nuevo León, and Coahuila in Mexico for conversion to agricultural production. White wings are different than mourning doves, he says. Primarily, they are colonial nesters and look for wooded areas that allow for concentrations of their own species. White wings don't migrate. They become indigenous. And in the nesting season in Texas, north of the valley, there are fewer mourning doves and less competition for food and habitat. It's a natural for white wings with less and less wooded land south of here. He says, as the first snaps of cold weather occur north of us, we will see more mourning doves move into North Texas, and they will concentrate wherever good roosting, food, and water are available. Wooded neighborhoods have most of these characteristics. He says white wings and mourning doves will share roosting as necessary, but their feeding and watering flights will become more spread out. Thanks for that email. You can call us, 800-933-5372. Email us with your questions and answers at anything at kera.org or send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's start on the phone today with Tom in Duncanville. Hello, Tom.
Jeff, I noticed just recently on I-20, 408 And Loop 12, they're in the southern sector. They've increased the speed limit to 70 miles an hour. And it's such a tight area anyhow in the traffic on I-20. I'm wondering how they made that decision to increase the speeds like that.
Yeah, the speed limit also increased on North Central Expressway in the, you know, south of 635 to 70 as well.
Yeah.
There's the speed limit. I don't know if it's a wholesale statewide change or what the thinking was. Somebody will have an answer, or somebody will know and give us a call.
And, you know, Jeff, also, and I didn't say this as a question, but I was going to ask sarcastically when the station went commercial, because it seems like there are so many more commercials and cross commercials for what's on the weekend. So I'm wondering when public radio went commercial.
Well, it didn't go commercial, Tom, but thanks for the observation. Appreciate the call. We'll see if we get an answer for you.
Bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Let's go back to the phone and talk to Syed in Plano. Hello, Syed.
Hey there, Jeff. I just wanted to call. I got some antiques over here. They're from like around the 1930s, and I actually have some letters from World War II that I actually picked up. And I was wondering if there's, I guess, an antique dealer, or if there are some museums I could talk to take a look at these for me.
All right. Well, we'll see if we get a suggestion for you. All right.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, thanks for calling. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. You can also send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. So we got this from Jay, who says, in response to the question about what to call your cell phone, Jay says it's definitely cell. It's on 90% of apps, et cetera, the word sell. So there's a vote for that. I think it might be an American thing to call it a cell phone. Maybe somebody can call us and tell us if they've had a different experience around the world. But we'll see what you all have to say about it. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. Bill emailed us from Richardson and is wondering about a high-quality place to transfer cassettes to CDs and VHSs to DVDs. Anybody have a suggestion for Bill in Richardson? I think we've had this question before, and I think there is a local place up there that does this kind of audio and video transfer. Somebody will remember. Let's talk next on the phone at 800-933-5372 to Forrest in Fort Worth. Hello, Forrest.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. I just wanted to offer up a book title. It's certainly not about East Texas, but a great Texas book is Goodbye to a River by John Graves.
Yes. We had a conversation probably last summer about Texas books on the show, and that one came up, and that is a highly regarded book. Thanks for reminding us.
Certainly. Thank you. Bye-bye.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Up next, let's talk to John in Garland. Hello, John.
Hi there.
Hey there. Go right ahead.
Yes. I have an answer for you about the speed limit question.
Okay.
Those decisions are made at a regional level over in Arlington at the Regional Transportation Council of the North Central Texas Council of Governments.
Okay.
And a while back, over the past 2 years, speed limits have been studied along the area highways, and the recommendation came forward to adjust them for better traffic flow, basically. When traffic is congested, you're not going to have higher speed limits anyway, but when it's not, the higher speed limits are actually warranted.
Very good. Thanks, John.
All righty. Thank you.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org or on the Twitter. I'm at Jeff Whittington. Robert tweeted me and says, I used to live in Scotland and everyone there calls it a mobile phone, pronounced mobile. Let's see. We got an email from Jackie in Dallas who says, let's just call them phones and call the old things landlines. I think that's what we do in the the production biz, right? Although we do everything via studio-to-studio connections now. Let's see. This is from Lisa, who asks, why is it, quote, pleaded not guilty, as opposed to pled not guilty, unless pled is not the past tense of pleaded, or to plead, in which case, never mind. So why is it pleaded not guilty, as opposed to pled not guilty? Good question. 800-933-5372. Let's see. Here's another one on the phone. This is actually a question about the phone or the cell or the mobile. This is from Chris, who says, I have an iPhone 4S. How can I get music from my computer to my phone? The computer will recognize photos, but won't let me transfer any photos or music. Is there a way to transfer music without iTunes? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Joe calling from Watauga. Hello, Joe.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Doing well.
My question is, we are redoing our fence. We live in a suburb, and we went to our neighbor and asked, you know, if we'll do one side, if he'll do the other. And then he went to his neighbor. Now we've tracked it pretty much all the way up the road, and we're trying to figure out, is there, I don't know, is there a protocol on who is supposed to do which side of the fence? Because they're connected to both, so actually all three neighbors, including the one in the back. And I called the city, and they didn't know, so I was hoping you could help us out.
Now, you're agreeing to cooperatively repair the fence? Is that what you're...
Yeah, we're going to replace all, basically all sides need to be done.
Right.
And so I said, okay, you know, we'll do this if you'll do your back in the connects. And he then went to his neighbor to see if they would do it. And then it got to the question of, well, if I do this side, why would I have to do the back and this side? And I didn't know. Now there's also the posts, which side the posts go on. Aesthetically, I guess, you know, you don't want them seen from the outside on the front. So
right. Okay. Well, we'll see if somebody has an idea of who. I mean, it seems like if it's on your property, if it's on the property line and you both benefit from the fence, if you just work out the deal.
That's what I thought too.
Then you just split the cost or the work, or if I'm assuming you're hiring somebody to do it.
Correct.
And as far as where the posts are, you know, every security expert will tell you to make sure that the posts and the fence runners are on the inside of your yard.
Yeah, but you're sharing a fence.
Right.
Between 2 yards on the side.
Oh, you don't have an alley. You don't have an alley.
We don't have an alley at all. No. So basically, you've got, you know, all four sides, and all of them are shared equally. So.
And nobody wants the ugly runners and posts.
Yeah.
So you have to do a two-sided fence, or do kind of one of those fences that has the fence, the pieces that are sort of offset on either side of the runner. So it lets the air kind of blow through, but you still have the privacy is one solution to that. But we'll see if somebody has another thought.
All
for
right.
You.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for calling. Line open 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. You can also send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. We're going to come back in about 2 minutes with more of your questions, more of your answers. So stay with us. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. Email address anything at kera.org. Let's go back to the phones and talk next to Jason in McKinney. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
So I'm new to the state. Just moved here in purchased a new house that was just built in June here in McKinney, and I had a question about the expansion and contraction with this hot weather we're having and about water in the foundation. The home I purchased does have what's called a post-tension foundation, and I do have sod laid all the way up around my house up to the foundation, and I have a automatic irrigation system. I'm just wondering if I need to water more to make sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll see if somebody has some suggestions for you.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org, or you can tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's see. Pete emailed with the Perseid meteor shower going on. I wonder if our satellites are in jeopardy and why we never see pictures from space of these meteorites entering the atmosphere. Let's see. We got a question from Jim in Richardson. Also, who says, many years ago, I was in a neighborhood, I believe, was in the southwest corner area of Central and Forest Lane. I ran across a house on a very large lot that was covered by a dome over the entire lot made of chain link fence. I'm sure it probably doesn't exist anymore. I was never able to find it again. Does anybody know if it's still there and where it is or where it was? This is the southwest corner area of Central and Forest Lane. And we got a question from Caleb wondering if there are any shops in Irving, Dallas, or Richardson that offer Indian art or antiques. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington. Up next is Jake in Arlington. Hello, Jake.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
So I have an antique pool table. It's more than 100 years old. It's built in 1905. And I've been trying to find somewhere local DFW that buys and sells antique pool tables.
We'll see if somebody has a suggestion for you.
Thanks.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Mo in Dallas. Hello, Mo.
Yes, hi.
Hey there.
Nice show.
Thank you.
My response is in reference to the cell phone call. In France, it is called portable, which is something you can carry around.
Very good. Thanks for calling, Mo.
Yeah,
portable. All right. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org, or you can tweet me at Jeff Whittington. Lucy in North Richland Hills writes via email, I'm somewhat new to gardening, and I was growing tomatoes this summer. I have four great, large, and healthy plants. They have many, many flower buds, but I haven't gotten one tomato. Any ideas what I'm doing wrong? I'm sure I haven't over-fertilized it, which I read could be the problem. Everything else in our garden was pollinated. I'm not sure what else to do. It might have something to do with the temperature, Lucy. If I remember correctly, there's some kind of temperature that it has to, now that it's been so warm at night, it might need to get cooler at night. Someone's going to remember this so that the tomatoes can actually set fruit. It doesn't mean that the pollinators aren't hitting your tomato blooms, but there might just be an issue because of the temperature. Somebody's going to remember this, or I'll look it up when I get a minute. let's see. Lauren says, on the Texas novel list, a great young adult older child novel is White Lilacs. And Lauren says, it follows a young girl's life, and it takes place during a historical event that took place in Denton, Texas. So there's a suggestion. Got an email from Connie, who says, my husband and I are going to a Western murder mystery dinner this Halloween. Connie's planning ahead here. And I'm wondering if anyone has creative costume ideas. We've done the typical gunslinger and saloon girl, which was fun, but we're looking for something a little different this year that would still fit in with the Western theme. Any ideas for Connie? And let's see, another book from Truett. Truett says, this is obscure now, but a great book about Texas politics and Austin in the 60s called The Gay Place by Billy Lee Bramler. On the video transfer, we got an email from Ben who suggests panhandlehouse.com, which is, Ben says, can transfer any media. Let's see. This is from Jason. who says the speed limit on Northern Central Expressway is now 70 miles per hour, which we mentioned earlier. Is there a minimum speed limit for the passing lane? I don't think there's a minimum speed limit on Central. I don't know that there's a minimum speed limit. Someone will correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure anywhere in Texas, but we'll see if somebody knows. And Megan in Dalworthington Gardens emails, another thought on the cell versus mobile question on my phone. The contacts section includes entries for mobile, home, work, and main phone numbers. No cell number. So there you go. 800-933-5372. Let's get another one on this from Billy in Waxahachie. Hello, Billy.
Hi.
Hey there.
Cell phone, according to AT&T repairs, a cell phone is a device that's wireless that you can leave your house with in a car and hear wherever you are, G4 technology, et cetera. A mobile phone is a wireless device with a range of about 100 feet that accesses a landline permanent connection. So mobile phone and cell phone are not the same thing. They're different.
It's what we always call a cordless phone around my house.
Cordless? Well. Yeah. Anyway, that's right. My 2 cents worth. Thanks buddy.
Billy. Thanks for calling. Up next, 800-933-5372 is Caitlin in Dallas. Hello, Caitlin.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great.
I just had some thoughts on the gentleman who called in about the fencing. I used to be a claims adjuster, and we handled fence claims quite frequently, mm-hmm. Often shared fences with neighbors. Unfortunately, there isn't really an answer for the pole issue. I would say just replace the fence and put it back the way it was. So whoever stuck with the poles now or the posts is probably going to be stuck with them. But a lot of times we would have insureds who were going through the fight with the neighbor when we were trying to replace the fence, and we would actually go back to the homeowners association and pull up their documentation. And sometimes invoking that actual paperwork would help. If you get the HOA involved, it can kind of help, get your neighbors to fork over the money to actually get the fence replaced. Because typically shared fences, you probably live in an HOA community. So
great. Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. We had from Carol a suggestion who emailed us. Carol says, one solution is to pay for the fence yourself and have it done the way you want. Another option is to ask the fence company about options to make it attractive to all sides, and everybody pays a little more for a more expensive fence. That's a good suggestion. Let's see. This is from Chris, who says, alternating boards, as I suggested, is a great solution as it allows air movement, but you also need to have a good relationship with a neighbor or a big yard. The best solution, if a board-on-board fence is to box in the poles. It looks great, almost like 4x4 wooden posts. If security concerns, put a triangular strip on the top of the horizontal runners so it's more difficult to step on. So thanks for that, Chris. 800-933-5372. Let's get one more on this from Mark in Fort Worth. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Regarding the fence, I had the same issue several years ago, and we just pulled the survey that was done on the house when I bought it, and that clearly indicated who owned the fence, and that's what the fence company went with.
Very good. And that's the person who paid for it and got the more attractive side, or is that what you're...
Well, I paid for it, and I got the attractive side.
Okay, because you were the owner.
Yeah, well, that's what the first thing they asked me was who owns it. Right. And I said, I wasn't sure. And they said, well, you have a survey. And I said, yep. Yeah. And I pulled that out, and it clearly indicates.
Yep. All right. Hey, Mark, thanks for calling.
You bet. Thank you. Bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Or you can tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Robert did that and says, hey, tomatoes won't set fruit when temperatures are above 90 degrees because the pollen gets too sticky. So there's the answer on that. I think and please correct me if I'm wrong, Robert, but I think they'll still make fruit if it's getting over 90 degrees, but it has to drop below significantly below, right? Or is it, if there are highs in the 90s, it's not going to make fruit. Maybe we can get a clarification on that. Let's see. We got... an email about the antique pool table. Our listener says, your caller might try Fort Worth Billiards on Montgomery Street in Fort Worth and see if they have any interest or know where you can possibly where you can possibly offer that antique pool table. Pam writes and says, I'd like to find a simple, quick list of drought-tolerant plants that grow well in Texas. Where can I find a quick list of drought-resistant plants that'll grow well here in North Texas? On the pleaded versus pled question, Ryan says, I'm an attorney. It's my understanding that the correct word would be pled. It always drives me nuts when I hear pleaded on the news, though it's probably in a style manual that way. Ryan says, I believe it's more correct to say pled, as in the defendant pled guilty, as opposed to the defendant pleaded guilty. And then we have the whole question of, you know, was the convicted murderer hanged or hung at dawn, you know, on Sunday morning? And we think that the style, at least, I think, has been hanged for a long, long time. Something else to weigh in on, if you choose. 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Up next is Joe calling from Hearst. Hello, Joe.
Hey.
Hey there.
On the transfer of VHS and stuff to DVD and to the computer,
yeah.
Boxio.com has what they call the VHS to DVD, but you can... I've even used it on my DVR to transfer stuff to my computer. So it's a nice little device, and it's pretty cheap to have it yourself at your own home, and it's pretty easy to use.
Great. Hey, thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Let's see. Up next, 800-933-5372, is Zach N. Kaufman. Hello, Zach.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
About the tomatoes.
Yeah.
I've grown tomatoes here in Texas for a few years, and there's a couple of tricks you can use to get them to set. One is to shade them. And help lower the temperature. Another is to use a misting system to lower the ambient temperature around them. Also, spraying with Epsom salts will help help them to set. But if it gets too hot, there's not much else you can do.
Right, the mister is a smart move, especially if they're shaded and it's misted, because it really does lower the temperature. That's a great idea.
It really does.
Hey, thanks, Zach.
You're
welcome. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Eliza in Fort Worth. Hello, Eliza.
Hi, it's Elida, actually.
Elida. Sorry, I just read it, what it says on the screen.
That's okay.
Right.
I have an idea for the woman looking for Western costume.
Okay.
They could go as Pawnee Bill and Annie Oakley.
Very good. All right. Well, you're the first suggestion, so that's what we've got right now.
Great.
Thanks, Elida. Bye. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Let's see. Connie says Waterbird Traders in Dallas handles American Indian antiques, and the owner is very knowledgeable, has a great selection, according to Connie. So thanks for that. Let's see. On the East Texas books question, Jane recommends author Joe Lansdale. His books are set in East Texas. The author lives in Nacogdoches. The Hap and Leonard series that he writes is being developed for the Sundance Channel. And Cold in July was made into a well-received movie last year, Jane adds. Jane says they're wonderful characters and settings that ring true to those of us that grew up in East Texas. Let's see. Andrew emailed us and says, Iridium flares from orbiting satellites were common in the 1980s. After the space race, does anyone know if it's still possible to see iridium flares, or is there anywhere you can go to see iridium flares from orbiting satellites in Texas? Call us, 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Cheryl calling from Athens. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi there.
Hey there.
I was calling about the East Texas books question, and there's an author named Dixie Cash who writes fiction novels, and the series takes place in West Texas, and they're absolutely hilarious.
Dixie Cash. Very good, Cheryl. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Love your show.
Oh, thank you very much. Let's see. Up next, 800-933-5372 is Robert N. Richardson. Hello, Robert.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey there.
About the man with the question about the foundation.
Yeah.
I grew up in this area, and the dirt in North Texas shrinks and swells with the rain and the moisture.
Mm-hmm.
As a boy, I crawled under a number of pier and beam houses. And if you've ever done that, the dirt underneath a house under that pier and beam foundation is dry like the Sahara Desert. And I've had a man who works on foundations tell me that under ideal conditions, you want the ground on the outside of the foundation to be just as dry. This fellow should not overwater that foundation. Keep the soil moist, but don't overwater it. And he said he has grass growing right up to the foundation. Don't tear that up for a flower bed, because all that does is loosen up the dirt right at the foundation.
Yeah, and it's a new house, so it's definitely a slab foundation, it sounds like, with post-tension.
Yeah, he said it was post-tension. Yeah. That's a slab foundation.
Yeah, and if he's got an automatic irrigation system, he probably has nothing to worry about, because it's going to, you know, even if he's going to water regularly, you know, probably more than a couple times a week, although a couple of times a week is plenty, really, even
no,
in the heat.
If he's listening, do not overwater. You don't want that stuff to turn into mud. You want it to be as solid as possible.
Great.
If it dries out and pulls away a little bit, water it a little bit. Don't turn it into mud. Well, if you think about this, you pour water onto a spot in the earth. If you keep pouring it long enough, you get the Grand Canyon.
All right, Robert, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Right.
Bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Give us a call with your question, your answer, joys and sorrows, even musings. Mostly questions and answers, though. You can also email us anything at kera.org or send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. That's what someone did who says, Valley View Center in Dallas has numerous artists at their third Saturday art walk each month, and several offer Indian-style art. So there is that suggestion. But there's always room for your tweet, at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Stay with us, though, a whole nother segment of your questions, your answers coming up. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. Email address anything at kera.org, or you can send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's see. In the inbox, Mike says, on the satellite and iridium flare question, Mike says, if you have an iPhone, download the SkyGuide app. It shows and tracks everything, including old satellites. Rachel says, for your listener looking for costume ideas for her Western murder mystery dinner, check out the Chanel Art Fashion Show that took place in Dallas in 2013 for inspiration. Rachel says, I also work at Buffalo Exchange in Dallas, and we have a fun selection of unique Western wear. Let's see. This is from Ron in Charleston, South Carolina, who says, hanged is the correct terminology pertaining to executions of humans. Hung is the correct usage for paintings on the wall. Let's see. Elaine says, westongardens.com, W-E-S-T-O-N, westongardens.com is a great resource for native drought-resistant plants. Speaking of plants, Denise says tomatoes won't set fruit when nighttime temperatures are over 80 degrees, and adds, don't fertilize tomatoes until after the fruit reaches marble size. Harold says, The Texas Republic by Joe Blevins, available from Trafford Publishing, is a book of diary entries of a freed slave who came to Texas to escape bigotry, and starts when Sam Houston was a lawyer before becoming president of the country of Texas. 800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Back to the phones. Let's talk to Ken in Dallas. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well.
Hey, I'm calling up. I believe I need to contradict the gentleman who talked about the difference between cellular and mobile.
Sure.
When we had analog, when everybody had the original mobile phones, they were called cell because they were analog.
Mm-hmm.
But now that all phones are pretty much, and all the networks are going digital, they're no longer using cells per se. So, and it's just a thing that people always use is cell phones. So actually every phone we have is a mobile phone. So mobile includes cellular and cordless, but we're and digital, so that's why it's called mobile and not cell.
Very good. I'm going to go back to rotary. I'm just going to call mine a rotary phone.
There you go.
Thanks, Ken. Let's see. Up next, 800-933-5372 is Zach in Athens. Hello, Zach.
Hi, Jeff. I had a house in Mansfield, and he had trouble with the foundation because the dirt would pull about 8 inches away in the summer.
Wow.
I put a sprinkler up on top of the roof so that when I saw the foundation starting, the dirt starting to move away, I just turned the sprinkler on for a little bit. It cooled the house and watered the earth enough to push back against the foundation.
Very good. Hey, Zach, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. All right. Bye.
Lots of calls from Athens today. I wonder what's going on. We're thrilled to hear from y'all in Athens. Let's see. Up next on the phone at 800-933-5372 is Izana in Dallas. Hello, Izana.
Hi. Great show.
Thank you.
I have a question about the Supreme Court justices. Mm-hmm. The Chief Justice, what different power has than the other 8 justices, and who get to elect it?
Well, the president appoints the justices, all of them, including the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and the you know, of course, they have to be ratified by Congress. But that's a good question, and I'm racking my brain from 12th grade government class to see if I can remember. Somebody's going to remember though, and I'm sure we'll get an answer for you here in the next 13 minutes.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. Let's see. Let's talk next to Debbie in Louisville. Hello, Debbie.
Hello, how are you?
Doing great.
I love the show.
Oh, thank you.
I listen to it every Friday. Anyway, so let me ask about native plants or plants that are drought tolerant. And the plants that are drought tolerant are usually the native plants. And if she looks on a site, it's free. It's npot.org. It's Josephine Keeney's site, and it's a wellspring of Texas plants and all their information about them with photos, links to the Texas Wildlife or Wildflower Center and everything. So she'll find everything she needs right there.
Great. Hey, Debbie, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Let's see. We got a couple of couple of suggestions on this from Robert, who says txsmartscape.com and findnativeplants.com are two suggestions there. On the watering question, Brandon in Mansfield says, I have a sprinkler system with 9 stations. How many minutes should I water each station? He says the ones in the front are pop-up mushroom and the ones in the back are rotary. Does anybody have a suggestion on how many minutes Brandon should water from with each of the 9 stations? Well, I'll tell you what I do. I try to water when it's this hot. No, I water once a week, but I'll run my. I don't have a sprinkler system, so I just move it around the yard, and I let it get a really good soak, but make sure that it's not going overflowing into the street at all. And, making sure that the sprinkler is correctly aimed and timed and just so it can get a really good soak because you want your roots to get water. And a lot of times I think people run their automatic sprinkler systems every day for just a couple of minutes. And it keeps the grass green, I guess, but it doesn't really get into the soil moisture. So, but I don't know. What's the recommended time? And, I think that a lot of municipalities have, or maybe we don't have them right now, but last summer I know we had those watering restrictions where you can only water on certain days. And I do believe that you're still restricted from watering between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on any day, in Dallas at least, just because, so much of it just evaporates when it comes out of the sprinkler. So if that's the time you've got, the best thing to do is is to use your hose with handheld hose watering, I think, is allowed at any time. But we'll see if we get an answer for you. Let's see. Harold in McKinney says on the meteor shower question, there's so much space between things in space. He says that the chances of something being hit by a meteor is very, the chance is very slim. Even during non-shower times, thousands of meteors enter the atmosphere every hour. The visible time of the meteor is only 1 or 2 seconds, and to photograph one requires a camera mount that tracks the sky as the Earth rotates, and the shutter must be held open for several minutes. It's only a hobby thing, not much science to be gathered, so satellites are busy being used for more important stuff, in making sure we can get Netflix, probably, stuff like that. 800-933-5372. Let's talk to David in Fort Worth. Hey, David.
Howdy. Great show as always.
Oh,
a couple of things. One of you people already mentioned Texas Smartscape.
Mm-hmm.
You can Google it or you can go to that link, but it started out as a disc that was distributed by the Council of Governments and Tarrant County Public Health and some other people like Weston Gardens. It was a great resource, still is a good resource. As to the guy with the sprinklers, it's not a question of how many minutes to run every zone. The way you have to figure it is how much water do you want to add, because different sprinklers are going to have different amounts they put out. So what you can do is you can go out and get several little cans, like you get canned vegetables in,
mm-hmm.
put them out in the zone of the yard, run it for enough time to put however much water you want to put on there. If you want to add like an inch of rain to your yard, well, you run the sprinklers until it fills up one of those little cans an inch, and you say, oh, okay, it takes me, you know, whatever, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever, to get that much water on, and that's how you set them. It's not by starting with the minute. You start with how much water you need, measure it, and see how long it takes your sprinklers to get that much water in your yard.
That's smart, and that's a really smart approach, David. Thanks for that very much. And I guess an inch is about right? An inch a week?
Well, it depends entirely on what he's trying to water. If he's trying to water Bermuda grass, which takes a lot less water, than if he's trying to do like St. Augustine, which likes more water. If he's got plants, it depends on whether he's got Smartscape plants or whether he's got things that use a lot of water. So that's why you can't just answer his question
right.
that quickly.
If it's buffalo grass, doesn't need to worry about it at all.
No water.
Right. All right. Hey, thanks for calling, David. Appreciate it.
No problem.
800-933-5372. Let's talk to Rob in Plano. Hello, Rob.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well.
Good, good. Hey, what I recommend to people for watering around their foundation is just a perforated soaker hose 6 to 8 inches away from their slab.
Okay. And just, you know, you don't run it, I guess, all the time. You just want to keep it.
No. You want to water it just enough to keep the soil up next to the foundation. But, yeah, you don't want it muddy or anything like
right.
that.
Okay. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, you're welcome.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. A few minutes left. We can still get your tweet in at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Kurt tweeted me and asks, where's the best place in the Metroplex to find, quote, living rock for saltwater aquariums? I'm trying to set up a new tank, he says. Ryan in Denton writes about the iridium flares question. He says, iridium flares are still quite common. I'd suggest downloading an app called ISS Detector. It will inform you of when flares and the International Space Station, hence the name, will be visible to the second, both by eye and with the aid of binoculars or a telescope, how bright they will be, as well as where in the sky to look. Ryan says it looks like the next highly visible flare will be Wednesday, August 19th at 5:30 a.m. So, Ryan, thanks very much for that. Let's see. We got an email on this also from Don, who says heavensabove.com has info and times to see iridium flares. They are the reflections of the sun on the giant solar panels powering the satellites. The site will tell you when to see them. The locations vary daily, and you can see them almost anywhere if you wait for one to come your way. Don says we saw one 2 weeks ago. So thanks for answering the question that was just on the tip of my brain there. I was like, an iridium flare. So now we know what we're looking for. Let's see. Sonali from Plano says, I recently planted a gardenia plant from Kroger, and it's not doing well. Initially, the leaves started turning yellow, which I Googled about and followed the suggestion to use some acidic fertilizer. I did that, but nothing changed. I replanted the plant in a more sunny spot at the corner of my yard, and now it's drying up and doing worse. I normally don't have problems with plants, except for the rabbits eating them. But this one is hard. Is there anything I can do to salvage it? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's get a call from Phil in Cedar Hill. Hello, Phil.
The lady for going Western.
Yeah.
There's Western formal. There are Western style shoes that look like boots. And I think that when Governor Dolph Griscom, one of his daughters, got married, I think they had an article in the paper that covered this.
Hmm. Okay.
And also when guys go to dances and they dance with, and I think the cowboys, when they would go, they wouldn't wear their cruddy boots. They would always try and dress up nice, and they would not wear their hats when they danced.
Very good. Well, hey, thanks for the tip.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk next at 800-933-5372 to Alex in Keller. Hello, Alex.
Hello. I have an answer for the nomination of the Chief Justice
yes.
on the Supreme Court. The President of the United States nominates the Chief Justice, and he remains in charge until he retires. So until Mr. Roberts retires, whoever is president at that time will nominate a Chief Justice. And if Senate approves him, then he will continue to be the Chief Justice.
Right. Now, just a clarification, our listener was wondering what additional powers the Chief Justice has that the other justices don't have. And we got an email, actually, from Jacob in Plano who says, the Chief Justice gets first crack at filing the docket of cases for the upcoming court year. So often they get to decide which issues are examined in a given year. So that's the answer we got from Jacob. Does that sound right to you?
That sounds like the right answer.
All right. Well, Alex, thanks for calling. Sorry if I didn't mean to put Alex in the force him to be a constitutional scholar. Somebody will be able to confirm Jacob's email. Larry in Fort Worth says Fort Worth still has the twice per week watering restrictions in effect, as well as the no watering between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. He says, see the city's website for the days you're allowed to water. Let's see. Mariana says, drought-tolerant plants. You can find info if you Google Superstar Plants, Texas A&M, Earthkind, Texas A&M, Dallas Arboretum Flameproof. And Mariana knows what she's talking about, so look for those. And Scott in Rockwall says, Elmer Kelton was a Western author who wrote stories primarily about the early days, mid to late 1800s to early 1900s of West Texas around Abilene, San Angelo, etc. Titles include The Time It Never Rained, The Good Old Boys, and many other great reads. So Scott's suggestion for Texas books, early Texas books, is Elmer Kelton. Well, it's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know, produced by Stephen Becker, engineered by Shelley Canavy. Fiona Norton's answers the phones, and Christine McConnell produces our podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. It's absolutely free. Just go to kera.org/anything, and there's a subscribe link at the top of the page. Of course, you can listen to the last 10 shows there as well, or download them for later use. And email us your questions and answers, comments and suggestions to anything@kera.org. Once again, I'm Jeff Whittington. You'll find me on Twitter. My handle is @JeffWhittington. And thanks again for spending another hour this week with us. And everybody, have a great weekend.